Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
And a dropback quarterback, I mean, maybe back in when he was a little bit quicker, he could have given us problems, but he's no Lamar Jackson. And I mean, you know, I just don't see it. The distractions that we had to deal with in Baltimore with the freakish run game and just everything that Jackson brings to the table, it dominates the world view of that defense. And I think, honestly, now that they just got kind of a straight dropback guy, yeah, he's talented. He's a huge talent, but
he's just
so is Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Right.
And the bottom line is, if you're going to drop straight back and try to throw a pass, then you are going to get pasted.
Well, that's what I'm thinking, too, Joel. That's what I'm thinking. But we'll see. Hey, thanks for the call, buddy. Appreciate it. Really, really appreciate it.
Are you surprised that so many people are down on Drew Brees? Because one thing I noticed, even though they beat the Texans in week one, Steiny, one of the things I was like, I noticed right away, I was like, his balls don't have the zip. And this is before the thumb injury. And I saw a little bit last year where in a divisional round game against the Philadelphia Eagles, Drew Brees, first play of the game, goes deep. He underthrows a wide open Ted Ginn Jr. and throws an interception. So that zip on the ball, like that arm strength is decreased with Drew Brees. And granted, he's in his 40s. It should. Father Time is undefeated. But I think that's why people aren't fearing Drew Brees as much, because they're seeing the same thing that I'm seeing with him. One, he's a statue. Two, he doesn't have the zip on the ball. And three, he's not taking as many chances down the field as he used to.
I think that's not obviously, but I think that's part of it. But you know what's funny is that's actually not part of it for me. For me, it is, I do think there might be something about drop back quarterbacks may have trouble against the 49ers.
Yeah.
Like, even if you throw Tom Brady in there, I'm like, you know what? Lamar Odom's tougher to defend than Tom Brady. I know that might sound like sacrilege, because Brady may go down as the greatest quarterback ever.
Right.
But I think if you're a 49er fan, that's steering a lot of this about how you're feeling pretty good when you're playing in the dome.
You're right. Lamar Odom's a hell of a quarterback.
Did I do it again? Did I do it again?
The candy man.
Wow. Who did I do that
to
before?
He's got the handle. I forgot.
Ian Williams.
Lamar Odom.
I know. Then we went into a sideshow about how Lamar Odom would be as a quarterback. He'd be able to throw over the line.
Dude, 6'10". He probably has an arm.
Plus
lefty.
He's left-handed.
He's a lefty. Oh, man. Mobile. I wonder if we could see – we see some 6'7 quarterbacks, but a 6'10 quarterback, that'd be pretty odd. Just line them up with a shotgun and just let them launch.
Who's like the tallest great quarterback, I wonder?
If I had to guess, I'd say Dan McGuire, Mark McGuire's brother, played at San Diego State.
He was 6'8".
He was like 6'8". Yeah. But I can't remember who – there was a couple 6'7s, but that's the tallest one that I know about off the top of my dome.
It feels like most of the great – traditional ones are about 6'4".
6'4", 6'5".
Something like that.
Yep.
Yeah. Let's go to, yes, I said Lamar Odom. I admit it. My bad. I meant Lamar. Lamar Jackson. And that was Lamar Odom.
It finally feels like, even though Aaron Rodgers, he was a little bit mobile, but it feels like the Niners haven't played a traditional pocket quarterback in a long, long time. You take out Aaron Rodgers.
Right.
It's been like a month.
I'm Joe Montana.
Let's go to City Boy. City Boy's in San Francisco, and then I want to get to this Jerry Jones sound. What's going on, City Boy? How you doing, though?
Oh, I'm real good. Happy Friday. Thanks for
Yeah, absolutely.
And, you know, I wanted to say also, Salty, man, we're going to miss him out here. I've been in outside sales for over the last 20 years, and I've heard a lot of Salty calls, and you know, I appreciate that guy, so we're going to miss him out here. And, you know, I also wanted to just say real quick, you know, I love calling your show, man. It's kind of like bellying up to the bar, you know, and some guys are talking sports, and you might not even know them, and you'll chime in, and next thing you know, you're in a conversation. And, you know, when you spend as much time in your car as I do, it really passes the time, and it's enjoyable. So thank you guys, man. I really appreciate you.
Appreciate you too, City Boy. Thanks, man.
Thanks, man. And can I chime in on the Niners?
Absolutely.
I want to hug you.
All right, great. So, you know, what I want to say is, you know, and my fandom started the year before our first Super Bowl, And so I was really paying attention that very first season, recorded a lot of the games on the old VHS and all that. And, you know, there's definitely, this is reminiscent of that to me, because that original Niners team, while Joe Montana really came into his own, was really built on that draft of Lott, Wright, and Williamson. And, you know, the defense really was a huge part of those championships. And this defense really is coming along big time. I think it's obviously built a little more on the line than the defensive backfield. But, and there, you know, the Niners with this really difficult back half of the schedule, win or lose, and whether they're a wild card or not, although it would be great to have that first round bye in the home games would really go a long way. They're really cutting their teeth on a difficult schedule, and they're going to be ready for the playoffs when they get there. So I look forward to a good run here, fellas, and enjoy your weekend, and thanks for taking my call.
Thanks, City Boy. Appreciate it. I got a lot. Okay. This is why I love the text line. And when I say love, I mean can't stand. No, I'm just messing. Everybody's Lamar Odom. Lamar. I know. I said Lamar Odom.
It happened. I'm different.
How many times I've called Russell Westbrook Russell Wilson? It just comes off the tongue. Yeah, Russell Wilson with the triple-double. It's like, wait, what?
I almost think it's worse if you get a guy's first name wrong. Because if I say, you know, the 49ers did a great job last week stopping Lamar Odom, everybody knows I meant Lamar Jackson.
Right.
I would hope. But if you say something like, I'll tell you what, Billy Garoppolo's been doing a hell of a job this year, then it's like, wait a minute, where'd you get that? Do you even know, you know? So anyway, all right, Jerry Jones, I don't know if you know this.
I've been waiting to hear it.
Jerry Jones has a weekly show in Dallas, 105.3 The Fan in Dallas. So he's doing his radio show, and I gotta set this up. So
lay off.
So basically what happens is there's two parts of this interview. And I'll just play the first part first, because Jerry obviously wasn't in a great mood after the Cowboys loss. Here's Jerry Jones.
Jerry, how you doing this morning?
Hey, guys. Morning.
Morning to you. All right, Jerry, you come on every week, win or lose. You answer questions. You know the Tolos and the Cowboys fans want answers today. What answer do you have for how this team is playing right now?
We're not playing very well.
Are you embarrassed? Are you embarrassed as an organization about how the team is playing?
Get your damn act together, yourself. Okay. Now we're going to have a good visit this morning, but settle down just a little bit.
I mean, as a Cowboys fan, Jerry,
a lot to go over. Now go on with your question, but I'm going to give you the answers I want to give you this morning, and I don't like your attitude. Come in. I've been traveling all night, and I don't have the patience to jack with you today.
I understand that, Jerry. I'm just saying, like, emotionally.
Okay, let's get with it, and let's ask some questions.
All right.
Right kind of question.
All right. So that's how it all. That's how it started. And then apparently the interview went on, and it was, you know, a little bit awkward.
My kids say,
do grown-ups say awkies? Awkward. Have you ever heard that?
It's IDK.
Is that something that's just in my family?
That's probably in your family.
Okay. Yep. Yeah, my daughters say awkies for awkward. Anyway,
let's not put that in the stratosphere.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Well, it's out there now. So it's a little awkward, and then this is how it finally ends.
So, you know, we won't
understand that because of some of the answers you just can't give.
Do you understand, Bo?
we just had to drop that twice, so.
All right. Oh. So what happens there? Here's another little inside radio tip. When somebody says one of the words you can't say on the air, curses on the air, it gets dropped. And
why?
Essentially, because it's against FCC rules, Guru. I mean, it is almost like he's here.
Right.
I mean, that's exactly something he would say while he was here.
Would you say our drops are like 80% Guruisms?
Yeah, for sure. So Jerry Jones says BS, but he says the whole word, and so that got dropped. The five or six seconds, they come right back to him, and he says it again, and they just have to cut him off.
We
spent a lot of time Wednesday, and I was saying, you know, this has been a great season for the Niners, kind of regardless. They put themselves back on the map. You know, you listen to Jerry Jones. It's been a hell of a season for the 49ers.
I mean, last week of Thanksgiving, he's walking into the locker room with his son, Steven Jones, just like ticked off after losing to Buffalo. You see him in a suite yesterday, just looking miserable at Soldier Field in Chicago. And then you get that where he just tells the host, come on, get with your questions. I don't like your attitudes to start. So I ain't got time to fool with the Jack today. I've been traveling all night. I don't have the patience.
Hey, you know what's weird is, are you like this too? And I'm not going to do it right away, but like, I want to hear it again now.
I do want to hear it again.
I want to hear it again
now. I just want to hear the first part.
But I'll, you know what? We'll play it periodically throughout the show because it's weird. It's like, well, why do you want to hear it again? You heard it all. I don't know. I just want to hear it again. It's just different. So we'll play that again.
He just comes in during his weekly interview and say, just get to your questions, man. I don't have the patience
today. We're going to have a good visit, but.
I don't have the patience. I've been traveling all night.
Exactly. let's go to Frank and Tracy. How you doing, Frank? Welcome.
Hey, fellas. Let me start it off by saying I appreciate y'all, man, to the fullest. I'm the only fan of a Bay Area team that I am is of the Giants, but I listen to y'all every day. Even on my days off, I turn the app on and I'm just listening to y'all. So I love y'all, man. Y'all, like everybody else said, push me through my day. Other than that, as much as I think the Niners are going to win, just to keep my trolling spirit alive, I'm going to say the Saints by six.
Hey, hold on. Hey, Frank, hold on a sec. Yeah. Hold on. You're a Giants fan. We may get to this. We may not. They don't want Bumgarner back, it doesn't seem like.
Yeah, I don't understand it. I mean, I understand it and I don't, but it's, you know what, that's the business side. I'm going to let them deal with it because I ain't got no business in it. But, I mean, I just support the team how I can.
Fair enough, Frank. Thanks for calling. Thanks for listening. Yeah, the Giants, there was a report by Bob Nightingale essentially saying Bumgarner's open to re-signing with the Giants, but they're not that interested.
I mean, 40's gone. We talked about closing the chapter on the Harbaugh era finally with Shanahan and his group of 49ers. It's over with Bochy and company. I mean, you got Posey left. Who knows what happens there? You have the Brandons left. Who knows what happens theirs? There, but that's about it. They even have a new hitting coach yesterday who's 33 years old. Stiney comes from the Reds organization, was an assistant. I got to get his name, but assistant Decker or something? Ecker? I don't even know. But the fact is, Bumgarner's probably gone.
I'm going to tell you something, and people might disagree with this, but I firmly believe it. If Buster Posey, all right, if there's a team out there that looks at a Buster Posey and says, he could help us, man. He could catch once in a while. We could put him at first. We could DH him. I believe the Giants under this regime would trade him for the right deal. I really do.
When you look at the money left on his contract, anybody would. It's like $22 million.
Honestly,
left.
Would Bobby Evans or Brian Sabian have?
No, absolutely not. Absolutely not. They would have just tried to hang on to him. And that's where Farhan, we're finding out that he has no emotional ties to any of these players. He is now
like
doing
Iceman.
It his way. After all the good clout he built up, all the good juju, whatever you want to call it, now he hires Gabe Kapler. He lets go of Pillar. And I'm actually shocked at how many people were distraught over Kevin Pillar. I saw a fan saying they're not renewing season tickets. They're done over Kevin Pillar. I mean, that's where we're at right now, starting with the Giants.
Yeah, exactly. Wow. How far they've fallen, at least for the time being. Let's go to Rob in San Bruno. Rob wants to talk about, he thinks Drew Brees is in some trouble this weekend. What's going on, Rob?
What's happening, fellas? First off, let me say RIP Salty. Been listening to Salty for like almost 20 years now, so RIP to that guy.
Yeah.
But, man. And Bonte, I tell you how I feel about your show, man. Keep inspiring folks. You know what I'm saying? Y'all doing y'all thing up there. But check it out, man. Drew Brees, man, he's 40 years old. At the end of the day, man, we got some young, hungry cats up there that's ready to eat. And I feel like this D-line might be the best D-line Niners had since I've been watching them. And I feel like Brees ain't got nothing for this D-line. If you want to drop back 30 times, he might not make it through the game. So I feel like the Niners – Only thing I mind is, you know, Jimmy Garoppolo. If he don't turn the ball over, if he plays and make the plays when they're there and don't turn it over, we going to win. But if you start fumbling and jumbling and throwing picks, it's going to be a close game. So I think we win 34-17 with no turnovers.
Ooh. Wow. Thanks, Rob. Appreciate the call, as always, man. Wow.
I see a close game, Stardy.
The one thing, I was listening to the morning show, they had Deuce McAllister on, former Saint. Former Eagle, too, right? Deuce McAllister?
Did he play with the? I know he played with the Saints. I don't definitely remember him Saint. As an Eagle.
Yeah, might be
out of Ole Miss, big number 26.
Let's see. That's the other reason we love our listeners, because if he didn't play for the Eagles, I'm going to find that out on the text line. He didn't play for the Eagles.
Only the Saints.
Whole you know what? With the Saints. Okay, I'll see. I was thinking of
Deuce Staley. You were thinking of Deuce Staley. That's a good call. Deuce Staley, who's now the running back coach up there in Philly.
Anyway, Deuce McAllister said they asked him about the pass rush and the fact that Breeze can't move around a lot. And he said, you know, a lot of it's rhythm, a lot of it's timing. So, I mean, the one way we've seen the mobile quarterbacks try to mitigate the pass rush is by getting it out quick.
Right.
I mean, getting it out as quick as possible. So, that's going to be an intriguing part of Sunday's game for sure. Let's go to Jose in San Francisco. What's up, Jose? How you doing, man?
Hey, how's it going?
Going well. Thanks for calling.
I just wanted to say I'm a diehard Niners fan, and I'm pretty confident that we can get the W. But I wanted to remind people we haven't really had that much of an issue with pocket passers as of late. The closest games I feel have been with mobile quarterbacks. But, you know, another reminder is that, you know, we kept Lamar Jackson with low points, and I was upset with the loss, but not as upset because the Niners weren't a pushover team, and it just came down to a three-point conversion.
I think, yeah, thanks, and good call, Jose. I appreciate that. You know what? I think the loss against Baltimore will feel perfectly fine if they beat the Saints this weekend.
Well, they'll forget about it, and they'll say, can't wait for the rematch in the Super Bowl if they win this game. But then you got to win this game. And then, here on the flip side, Niners go down to the Superdome and win, Steiny. We could come back Monday morning with the Niners in first place because the Seattle Seahawks will have a battle in L.A. And those are two. Think about that. Seattle has to win. The Rams have to win. It is win or basically go home for the L.A. Rams in that game on Sunday Night Football in a divisional game.
I mean, that's the thing that you always look at your teams from your point of view. What do we have to do? What do the Niners have to do? I got to believe the Rams right now are feeling a little bit frisky, saying, hey, we take care of our business and beat Seattle and knock the 49ers off, we're in.
Yep.
It's not outside the realm of possibility that the NFC West would have three playoff teams.
No doubt. Let me do this before the break, Sonny. Yeah. I know we got a couple seconds here, but from the 405, Coach Dre in Lincoln High School, I'm glad he texted in. Lincoln High School just won Turkey Day. I'm a Washington Eagle, so I really can't stand Lincoln High School. But a lot of buddies at Lincoln, they listen to the show. They're on their way to Merced to play for the Northern California Football Championship. So love to Lincoln High School here in San Francisco. Go out there and get that NorCal Championship.
And while we're doing that, we got a text. I'm a Schwann's driver. I'm not sure if the company's right driver in the North Bay. And I listen to you all day long. Wish I could call in, but I really enjoy listening to you and the interaction. So thank you, 775. All right, here's what's coming up on 95.7 The Game, sponsored by Chilton Auto Body. We're going to take more of your calls about the 49ers and Saints. And also, we are going to honor longtime Bay Area Sports Radio caller Salty by talking more to you guys, the listeners, about what you like. Sports talk radio, what you want to hear, etc. And then also, I'm going to play that Jerry Jones sound again coming up after the break. And that'll be brought to you by Chilton Auto Body. Whether it's a major collision or just a scratch or a door ding, Chilton Auto Body's 11 convenient Bay Area locations are just a call or click away. Stop in or schedule an appointment today at ChiltonAutoBody.com. That's ChiltonAutoBody.com. But let's head out to the Dialpad guest line. Dialpad helps you make smarter calls. Connect your team with a business communication platform that powers voice, video messages, and meetings across your existing devices. Let's welcome Ian Williams, former San Francisco 49er. Ian, thank you so much for joining us. And, you know, it's funny. We looked at these three games, the Packers, Ravens, and Saints, as just a gauntlet. And if you think about it, if the 49ers can go in and get the game against the Saints, I mean, you'd have to say that three-game stretch was a heck of a finish at 2-1. You'll take that.
Oh, yeah, I'll take that. And it looks like, you know, we could possibly step out of here, like you said, with 2-1. And just looking at the stretch of where it was, I remember before the season, looking at this stretch, like, this is the part of the season that's really going to test the team and figure out where they are. But and then it comes into, you know, historically one of the hardest stretches for a team to ever have to play against. And then the team to possibly have a chance to go 2-1 and, you know, possibly should have won that game against the Baltimore Ravens. This shows how good this team is, especially in the NFC.
No doubt about it. And what do you see from the Saints team here? Let's start with the offense. Obviously, you're a former defensive lineman, Ian. How will the Niners, because it feels like they've been playing a mobile quarterback for the last 3 months now, Russell Wilson, Kyler Murray, and, of course, Lamar Jackson. Now they see a guy who's more stationary in the pocket, who doesn't really want to leave the pocket, in Drew Brees. Is that advantage 49ers defense?
Oh, definitely advantage. You know, people were worried about the team after the Baltimore Ravens. You have to understand who they are and what they are. You won't have to deal with them ever again. But, you know, you just played against a Drew Brees black quarterback and Aaron Rodgers, who, you know, if the play, you know, persists, you know, he can get outside of the pocket and use his legs and stuff like that. But does he want to? No. And I feel like, you know, with the 49ers, what they were able to do to Aaron Rodgers, I feel like they'll be able to do that same way against Drew Brees in New Orleans. Terron Armstead, their left tackle, who's actually really good, pro bowler, so he's missed the past couple of weeks with the injury. So he's been practicing this week. He practiced yesterday, so that's pretty much showing that he'll be playing. So that question mark right there is for the offensive line, and then their left guard, Andrus Peat, who's actually a pretty good pro bowler. So pretty much their left side of the offensive line is either banged up or he won't be playing. I was watching the Atlanta film of when they got beat a couple weeks ago, and up front they gave up 6 or 7 sacks to that Atlanta defensive line. So right there, just shows, you know, the weakness of this offensive line for the New Orleans Saints, but also the strength of the 49ers. I feel like obviously we have the certain matchups, the right matchups, to be able to replicate what the 49ers were able to do on Sunday against Aaron Rodgers.
Ian, one of the things Bonte and I spent the first portion of the show talking about is what may happen in terms of playoff seeding. And obviously, if the 49ers win their last 4 games, they'll win the division. Most scenarios that play out have a tie going to the Seahawks in terms of the tiebreakers. As a player, how much did you know about what you have to do to get to the playoffs? What makes you a wild card team? Or is it still too early for them to think about that?
No, you know. I mean, I'm sure they've already had team meetings leading up to knowing, like, hey, since we lost to Seattle and since they won and beat the Rams or whoever they need to beat, you know, now we're sitting at where we're sitting. We're dropping the 5. So, guys, this is what we need to do. We need to go out here and handle business the next few weeks. And then also, you know, maybe Seattle loses, but that last game in Seattle, as long as we keep playing and doing what we need to do week after week after week, you know, we'll get back into having a stand, because we don't want to go to Green Bay. We don't want to have to go to New Orleans. That's one thing you do not want to do. We did it in 2012 when we went to the Super Bowl, when we went to Atlanta and beat them to go to the Super Bowl. But the fact of you having to travel, get out of your element, get out of your rhythm, that's what you don't want to do. You want to have all roads come through Santa Clara. And also, it's good for Jed, and it's also good for this organization, it's good for this city and this franchise to have, you know, the NFC championship, the divisional championship here in Santa Clara and not having to go somewhere else.
Yeah, that's wild, Ian, because you think about Levi's Stadium in a short history, no playoff games yet. You feel like you need a playoff game to Christ in that stadium. Not one playoff game. Huh?
I said we need it in my life.
I want it in my life. What I want also is a no-turnover game for the 49ers offense and Jimmy Garoppolo. We saw the fumble last week in the first quarter. Yeah, it changed the game for a little bit, but I don't think that was a determining factor at all. But offensively, can you get a read on who's going to be the lead back? Who's going to be the hot hand? What's going on with George Kittle in a passing game? Can this offense score enough in that dome where it's going to be loud to really hold off a tough Saints defense? Because that defense is a little underrated.
Yeah, Don. Their defense is really good. Cameron Jordan's been playing lights out. They've had some injuries at linebacker, A.J. Klein and Kiko Alonso, two guys who've been been missing practice these last couple of days, but it doesn't look like they'll play. They signed Manti Te'o, my guy from Notre Dame, so that tells you what their linebacking core is looking like. And then they have a really good defense and defensive back core with Marcus Lattimore and Marcus Williams and some other DBs back there. They're really good on defense, but offensively, especially on that turf, I feel like it's going to make us and help us look faster. We're getting Matt Breida back. He practiced yesterday, so it's looking like, you know, he's going to be playing on Sunday. We're getting other guys back. Joe Staley also practiced,
right.
So it looks like, you know, he might be back also, so that's going to help on that left side to be able to get more push. Nothing against Brunskill. He did a great job out there last week. But obviously, you know, having Joe Staley like that, a guy like that in the huddle is definitely going to help him look Jimmy G in the eye and give him some comfort. But I feel like we're hitting a stage right now where, all right, we suffered a loss. But you know what? We were able to stay in Sarasota, Bradenton, in the middle of nowhere, basically the country in Florida, and be able to, you know, kind of turn it into another training camp, and guys just kind of bond even more after a loss. You know, they always say you learn more after a loss than a win, and then guys were able to stay around, not have any distractions, and be amongst themselves, and now they're going into another hostile environment where I feel like this strong suit will be, obviously, for our offense. Now we're going to have all running backs back, and you'd be able to, you know, shuffle that backfield a little bit more and not have to count on, you know, just one guy, you know. And I feel like, obviously, you know, the wide receivers are going to step up and have some more freedom, because now the turf field is going to help. You know, you don't have to worry about having to stick your foot around. Am I going to flip here and stuff like that? So I feel like we're at a stage right now where stepping onto that field, we're going to be ready. And I feel like it's going to be like the greatest show on turf, you know, coming back and stepping off of that rain field and going onto a turf field.
Ian, we were crunching some numbers here, and there's a possibility that the San Francisco 49ers could finish 13-3 and have to go to Philadelphia to play the 6-10 Eagles. If you take yourself out of the fact that, you know, it's happening to the 49ers, do you think that's so egregious that the league may look to figure out a way to deal with that, because it's patently unfair?
You could say unfair, but at the same time, if you win your division, you have to win your division. You know, it's always been like that, and I don't think it's one of the things you have to do. You have to win your division to be able to help host games and not have to travel. So, you know, where we are right now, we're in a tough division. We're in the NFC West. It is what it is. You know, we're going to have to play Seattle, and they can possibly win it. And we've dealt with Arizona. We've dealt with the Rams these past few years. But, you know, it is what it is. And now, you know, like you said, you know, a possibly 13-3 team might have to go up to Philadelphia in the freezing snow and have to, you know, play a game like that. You know, it might happen like that. But it is what it is. You have to win your division to get, you know, certain things that will help you down the road in the playoffs. You have to win your division. It's what it is. I don't want them to change it.
Ian, real quick, because we haven't talked to you since the Baltimore game, obviously. I wanted to ask you, because it was a big talking point, especially on Monday, the clock management from Kyle Shanahan at the end of the first half, and then the 4th-and-1 play call at the end of the game where with 6 minutes and change left, where it was the last snap for the 49ers offense. What did you think about Shanahan's clock management, and what did you think about the 4th-and-1 call at the end of the game there?
4th-and-1 is tough. I understand what he was doing. He was thinking, you know, you kind of, you know, as a coach, you want to, you know, put your guys in the best position to be able to win and be able to succeed. He tried to do that thinking that the defense was going to pack the box and they were going to, you know, really stop them up front. You got to understand they're really big guys. You have Domantas Pecco, who's almost 340, 350 against Winston Richburg and these guys. Nothing against our offensive line, but he's 350. It is what it is. So he was, you know, taking all this into account. And, hey, you know, maybe, you know, we switch it up and through. We early in the game, we went on 4th down and we threw a touchdown to Deebo Samuel. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, that's what his mindset was. All right, I'm being aggressive against an offense like this, you know, and then going into the 4th quarter, 6 minutes left, you know, if I kick a field goal here or I punt the ball, I might not get the ball back. So I have to be aggressive. And I don't want to just call a run where now it gets, you know, it's rainy, it's sloppy out there. You know, exchange center to a quarterback exchange could be bad. So maybe let me put my quarterback in a better position to be able to win and succeed.
Right.
Let's push him back a few yards in the shotgun and let him be able to see the pocket and maybe see the play. It was just a great play by them. You know, I think the guy was open who he was throwing to at the time.
George Kittle.
Yeah, this is a play, you know, a good play by them. bat the ball down. You know, it is what it is. Right. He swung for the fences and he missed. It is what it is.
And real quick, any concern about Shanahan's clock management skills?
Clock management skills. I mean,
into the first half, you know, he had the three timeouts. They let about 50 seconds burn after the Debo 8-yard run. They huddled up. I get it. You don't want to come. You don't want to punt back to Lamar Jackson, possibly. But I just thought they handled that a little. And then there's questions about the overtime against Seattle. A lot of people think they should have ran the ball there at the last three plays. I personally don't think so. But Pettis drops that pass. Clock runs. It's just a little things with Kyle Shanahan with game management and clock management. But you don't. It sounds like you don't have any concerns with that.
I mean, obviously, in the heat of the moment, it's hard to understand what someone's thinking. And obviously, after the fact, you know, fans and people, you know, they may feel a certain way. But you have to understand, he's taking more than just a feeling into account. He's taking these guys into account. He's taking the down and distance. He's listening to people on the radio. That's why he has the headset on. And he has multiple coaches and multiple people in the analytics room he's getting, you know, getting information from. So he's taking all that into account. So it is what it is. It's not like, you know, what was it, on Thanksgiving night. It wasn't like Atlanta and the other team on Thanksgiving night where it was just such bad clock management at the end of the game where it's like, well, what is that? Like, what? Like,
right.
How do you guys mess this up? But I feel like, you know, they're not the Atlanta Falcons right now. They're not 2-9. They're what, 10-2 right now. They're fine, you know. If this was a 3-9 team, then we can question his clock management skills. But the couple times where, hey, do I want to kick the ball with to Seattle and give Russell Wilson the two? Think about it, Devontae. Would you want to kick the ball or give the last possession to the two possible MVPs? That's the two losses we have against Russell Wilson and against Lamar Jackson. Think about that. Do you want to give the ball back to them?
No. But I also don't think Lamar Jackson's going down the field and throwing the ball down the field before halftime, you know, 50, 60 yards. I get what you're saying, though.
What you mean? He did that against Miami.
I hear you. That's Miami. These are the 49ers, Ian. This ain't the Dolphins.
Hey, I'm just saying. He's the possible MVP. He can do what he needs to do.
I get it. No, I understand.
hey, Ian, thank you so much. Appreciate it as always, and I look forward to catching up with you next week.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I see you guys at the game. Oh, yeah.
All right, man.
All right, Ian.
Ian Williams. Good stuff.
What you think? Defensively, he sounds confident. Well, he sounds confident against the Saints team, especially because of the track.
You know what else? You know who else he sounded like? Bill Polian. Or not Bill Polian, but the owners, when Bill Polian said,
he said,
I don't want the divisions messed with.
Yeah, I don't know if I would tinker the system because of one season, because we haven't seen anything like this since Seattle was 7-9. And that was damn near 10 years ago with the whole Beastquake. So it happens every now and then. That's the special thing about the NFL. And there's no guarantee that teams going into that division winner that is 6-10, 7-9, 8-8, and winning a football game. Home games in the playoffs, man, that's a benefit to the division winner. I wouldn't tinker with the system at all, Steiny, because this may not happen again. Hell, the NFC West may not have a 10-win team next season. So, you know, I think it's more Niner fans and people that are behind these teams that are winning a lot of games. They're a little up in arms about it, but I wouldn't change the system.
Yeah, I don't know. I think 49er fans may want to if that's what happens, because they're going to be the ones who got to pay the price. Although, you know, if they go into Philly and win 31-3,
it's still
a game.
It's still a game.
And you know what?
More miles of the legs.
By the way, everybody's making the, not everybody, but there's a joke going on out there that playing the Cowboys in the wild cards easier than a bye. You'd almost rather have that more than a bye. It's a joke, of course, but you do not want to play any extra games.
No.
If you can help it. All right, I'll talk about three things. Daryl the Guru Johnson, not with us today. Taking care of a family matter. Son got a little nicked up at a basketball game last night. Got a had a concussion, and he is with his family, quite frankly. And we wish Guru the best.
But he'll call us a little later.
All things are progressing well. Also, longtime Bay Area sports talk show caller, gentleman simply by the name known by the name of Salty, recently passed, and we're using We're using Salty as a way to say thank you to you guys, the listeners, and for making our show what it is. We love talking to you guys, and it's going to be a day where we shout out to you guys because there's nothing like great callers.
Yep.
We love when you guys call in.
Rest in peace, Salty.
Exactly. And I forgot the third thing, of course, so I'll go out.
Jerry Jones?
Niners Saints. I'm going to get to Jerry Jones in a minute. Strong safety, Jaquiski Tart, broken rib, has been officially ruled out versus New Orleans. Marcel Harris will likely start in his place.
Ooh.
D Ford is in, and Julian Taylor is also out.
Wow.
Out.
Wow.
So there you go.
Tart's been playing at a high level. No injuries. That's been a knock on him over his career. Marcel Harris did make the big play last week against Lamar Jackson. He didn't notice that Tart was out of the game because of that strip fumble. Then later on in the game, he played some tight defense. But going to that dome against Drew Brees, you got to think that they'll try to isolate Marcel Harris at all costs, especially with Jared Cook at tight end.
By the way, I just want to acknowledge a bunch of people on the text line. UPS driver, school bus driver, FedEx driver, hospice care driver, and I hope I'm saying this right, Estevan in Denver. They've all texted in and given us nice words.
Radio.com app, baby. Everybody's on that radio.com app where you could rewind Guru's rants or Steiny's pessimistic nature me just saying anything here on the airwaves. So radio.com app. Thanks to everybody listening on that.
All right, let's head out to JJ. JJ's in San Jose. How you doing, JJ? What's going on, man?
Hey, what's up, guys? Thanks for taking my call.
Yes, sir.
Of the show.
Thank you.
You know, I've been listening to this station for a few years now, and this is my favorite show on this station. You guys crack me up, you know, especially now that Bonte's been on the crew for a few months now. This is my favorite show, hands down. My favorite moment was when Steiny and Guru were going at it about Ben Simmons and Lonzo Ball.
I
had tears going down my eyes.
Which time?
This year.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Last season. This is last season.
Yeah, okay.
It was great, man.
Thanks, man.
That's exactly why I love this show. But
cool.
In terms of the Niners, in all honesty, I think the Niners' defensive line are licking their chops right now. Everybody knows it's Drew Brees on the other side, but come on, that's 40-year-old Drew Brees against, I don't know if he's ever went against a first-round pick defensive line like the Niners have, and you want to give Brees the benefit of the doubt, but as far as this year goes, and the two losses that we do have are against mobile quarterbacks, I know it sounds very redundant, but I really, really do believe that the Niners can put a whooping on the Saints like how they did the Packers, even if it's in the Superdome.
Thanks for the call,
yeah,
JJ.
Yeah, JJ, thanks a lot. Appreciate the call.
Brees sacked 9 times in 7 games played this season, Steiny, throwing about 255 yards a game. They're going to lean on that running game. Kamara averaging 4.7 yards a carry. Latavius Murray averaging 4.4 yards a carry. And if there's any knock on the Niners' defense, is that they're giving up 4.7 yards a carry in a run game. We've seen teams come out and try to run the football right down the Niners' throats, especially on opening drives. And for the most part, Baltimore had success running the ball against the Niners. So they got to tighten up that run D against the Saints.
It's going to be a good one. Going to be a good one. Remember, this is game three of what many considered to be just an absolutely brutal. Well, it was. I mean, there's no way you can deny it. They're playing the Packers, who are 8-2 coming in, and then the Baltimore Ravens, who I think it's safe to say they're playing the best football of anybody now, and now they're heading to a brutal place to play.
You feel better about the Niners after this 3-game stretch,
yes,
regardless of what happens
Because, well, I don't know if I can say regardless of what happens after the Saints game, but as of right now, absolutely, positively, yes. And if they go and if they beat the Saints, I don't even care how.
Right.
Then they are,
boys, right? It's like 2-1.
No doubt.
You know, going it on the road and barely losing to Baltimore at the last second there with the Justin Tucker field goal. I'm with you there. If they could beat the Saints anyway, in any fashion, you got to feel good about the 49ers moving forward, even if they had to start on the road in the playoffs.
Yeah. Let's go to one of our favorites, Derek in Dallas. What's going on, Derek? How are you, my man?
What's up, D?
What up? Hey, Stoney, real quick, I know you said that interview ended because he he cursed twice. But no, the interview ended. I was actually listening to it. It ended because they asked him a question that he didn't like, and he hung up on him.
Okay. Good clarification, because there's sometimes when a guy swears on the air, it just will erase not only that word, but a few seconds. So what you're saying is, even though he got dropped twice because of profanity, he did end up at least hanging up on the station.
Yeah. Gotcha. It was hilarious. Like, I'm loving it down here. It's like a morgue at work. but real quick, hey, the reason I listen, you know, I'm down here in enemy territory, and when I was searching for a show, I used to flip when it was just Steiny and Guru, and then I used to listen to the Afternoon Delight. And like I was telling Bunte in San Francisco, I felt like he was hamstrung in that show. But when he joined y'all, it's like it blossomed. And finally, you like the perfect mediator between Guru and Bunte. And y'all, I mean, telling y'all all like a perfect mix.
Wow.
For real.
Yeah.
Make me tear up,
like,
Derek.
Taking off like. Like, I love it for real.
Thanks, man.
Appreciate it. We got to get you back out
here. I want to hug you.
There's a playoff game in Santa Clara. You got to come back out here.
Hey, the playoff game might be in Dallas.
It might be in Dallas with the help his pockets out.
Hey, you know, it's funny. It's funny. I was like, I'm kind of hoping to play Dallas because I want to go to the game. But now, hell no. I want that bye.
Yeah, that's true.
But I think this is my keys to that game, I think. Well, two players and one key. The two players that I think need to have the game of their life is Mike McGlinchey going against Cameron Jordan.
Good call. I like that.
Also, D Ford, well rested. We need him to have his best game as a Niner this week.
That's your answer.
We're just trying to make you feel at home with Goo.
Oh, okay. Yeah, because if that left tackle come back, he might stifle Bosa a little bit, but D Ford should be able to get off. And the key, I think, to the game, because 49ers seem to have problems with this, is the screen game. Because that's the only way Breeze is going to be able to get the ball out real fast, the screen game. So Kamara and those wide receivers, we have to stop that this week.
Thanks, Derek. Appreciate it as always, and thank you so much for listening. We really, really appreciate it. All right. When we come back, I'm going to get to that Jerry Jones sound that we referenced a few times. Jerry Jones did an interview with a Dallas radio station, our sister station, 105.3 in Dallas, and it was epic, as the kids would say.
I got to hear Guru's thoughts about this, man. Him out there, Cowboys loss. Guru, better call us.
Maybe if he calls us, we'll play it for him. It'll be brought to you by Fremont Bank. Full service banking, no compromises.
I'm Batman.
We're hoping to get him on the phone, maybe momentarily, but... Guru's son got a concussion in a hoops game last night. Guru spent the night at the hospital. Guru's son, okay, they're home, and things are going well, but that's why Guru's not here. He may call in. Secondly, if you are a sports talk show listener, which obviously all of you are, you know of a legendary sports talk radio caller who went by the name of Salty. Salty passed recently, and it got us to thinking about how important listeners are to our show in particular, how callers make the show, how we don't have a show without you guys. And we were just kind of throwing around, you know, what makes a good call? And, you know, how many calls do you want to hear? And would you rather have guests or, you know, all that kind of thing? So we're kind of taking the temperature of you guys, because it's your show. Maybe what you like about this show, maybe what do a little better, or what you'd like to see. Well, I don't want to get into that.
Getting some heat about Anderson .Paak here. NBA 2K, apparently. He has a song on NBA 2K. Yes, Lobo and Fairfield. I have not played NBA 2K in quite some time. I retired from video games in about 09, Stiney. 09. I went out on top.
Yep. Also, I just, and a lot of people are hitting us up on the text line. I may not get to y'all, but I just want to acknowledge as many as I can. This is a good one. 650 says, I like listening to you guys because I can hear my dad's voice an opinion with Steinmetz. Bonte's my head and Guru's my heart. That's, I like that. 650. I'm an adapted PE teacher, who drives children with disabilities around. Thank you so much. Nobody listens to this station more than, me in the 925. Garbage truck drivers, give us some love in the creek. Absolutely. Thank you all for Republic Services. And everybody knows how I feel about waste management. Big fan of waste management.
Big game in them. Got the waste management out there at Oakland, man. They're out there representing too.
Speaking of drivers, Dale drives disabled veterans to their medical appointments. And, he wants to acknowledge us, and I want to acknowledge him. Oakland Meals on Wheels driver. Says, wish Daryl's kid a speedy recover. Chris, who's also a construction inspector. Just wanted to say thank you to all you guys out there. And then we got the Niners Saints.
We got the Niners Saints. Pretty big game. Yeah. Pretty big game.
I'll tell you what, I'm going to do this Jerry Jones sound right now just because I got a kick out of it. Jerry Jones was on a radio show this morning in Dallas after their loss. And he wasn't in a good mood. And we thought this was kind of intriguing. And if Guru calls in, we'll play it for him, although I got to believe that he's heard it already. Anyway, here's Jerry Jones on 104. We got Guru?
We got Guru.
Hey, Guru, what's up, man?
Wait, we almost got him.
Hey, Guru, what's up? Guru, can you hear? Hey, what's up, Guru? Hey. Can you hear me?
Yeah, what's up, baby?
Hey, what's going on, Guru? How are you? First of all, how's your son doing?
How's little Goo?
He's doing better, man. It could have been a lot worse. And, Bonte, you'll know the feeling. I'm sure you've been at your daughter's games, but you try to...
You mean me?
You mean Steiny, yeah.
You mean Steiny.
Bonte Hill's killers.
You try to be tough and not go out, but I had to go out to the center of the court. You don't want to look soft. But, yeah, man, a concussion is no joke. So, I called it a dirty play, but that's kind of up in the air. But the bottom line is he's doing better. So
good.
I apologize for not being there, man. But sounds like you two having a lot of fun.
Hey Guru, I got to ask you, when that play happened, what was your reaction? Because you've been known to get thrown out of JV games.
Yeah. Hey, Bonte, the only reason that stopped me from going Lou Ferrigno, my son, you know, him down, you know, what was going on, and that sound of a body hitting the floor of the hoop game. You know the sound I'm talking about when people fall. So that kept me from going Lou Ferrigno, but I was hot, man.
Hey, Guru, probably you didn't get a chance to even monitor your Cowboys game last night.
Well, I had the phone in the crowd. I couldn't wait. So as they were just getting demolished, I was watching on the phone and watching the game. The game didn't start till 8. I thought it was earlier, so I was like, let me watch it in the crowd, and it was bad.
Mm. You said watch it in the crown, like the Crown Royal room? They got a Crown Royal room at your kids' high school game?
On my phone.
Oh, I'm sorry, crowd. Yeah. Crowd, okay. Hey,
all the jackals start texting me, so I had to go ahead, and I couldn't wait till I got home.
There's a jackal!
Hey, did you hear Jerry Jones on Dallas radio this morning?
So we were taking shifts, me and the wife. So she'd go to the car, I'd go to the car, I'd go in, she'd go out. So I heard it live. But what happened is, real quick, because I heard Derek call, what happened is he used the same explicit twice.
Yeah.
And that automatically drops the call. So he used the BS word, and then he called back. But my whole thing was, talk that way to the head coach because the team is quit.
Wow.
Hey, Goop, you know what? I've been teasing playing it, so what do you say? What do you say we listen to it together?
I love it. Go ahead.
All right, here we go. This is Jerry Jones, part one of his interview with 105.3 The Fan in Dallas.
Jerry, how you doing this morning?
Hey, guys. Morning.
Morning to you. All right, Jerry, you come on every week, win or lose. You answer questions. You know the Tolos and the Cowboys fans want answers today. What answer do you have for how this team is playing right now?
We're not playing very well.
Are you embarrassed? Are you embarrassed as an organization about how the team is playing?
Get your damn act together yourself, okay?
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 40%. Up to 40% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.